Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Hey there, Amy. Yesterday, we were talking about how Paul was giving directions to the strong and the weak Christians in Rome and how they need to come alongside of each other and be understanding and not judgmental and not to be dividing over unimportant or less important matters. And today, we're going to continue in that. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans. We're going to be in chapter 14. We'll be in verses 13 through 23. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. But what you do eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Well, we have a therefore here, so we look backward a bit, and just that little recap again, we have on the one hand the strong in the faith, who were putting too high of an emphasis on exercising their freedom in Christ at the expense of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And on the other hand, we have the weak in the faith, who were clinging steadfastly to the law and refusing to let go of it at the expense of the legitimate freedom from the law that Christ had won for them through his sacrifice on the cross. Remember, Paul warned the readers in our verses yesterday that everyone will be called to give an account to God. All of us. No exceptions. None. Knowing this, knowing that I will have to give an account of how well I loved and served others, let's not keep on passing judgment on each other. Instead of passing judgment on each other, we should make a careful decision to help our fellow believers. And by the way, we still hear this today. We still hear people say, we're not under the law anymore, but under grace. And they'll use that as an excuse to ignore what Scripture clearly teaches, refusing to call sin what it is, sin, and emphasizing love over any other attribute of God's. We will also hear the legalists who add their own requirements to Scripture and stand in judgment on other brothers and sisters over issues that are secondary at best. In context here, though, Paul was addressing specifically eating and drinking of food that may or may not have been sacrificed to idols. So one immediate benefit of their growth from weak to strong is the understanding that the food and drink is nothing of itself, and they can eat and drink without guilt. However, the tenets he lays out here have benefits for us to understand and put into practice today, too. Keep that in mind. We'll apply what we discussed to both the specific issue of Paul's day and also consider how these truths are applicable to issues we still face today because, once again, this is all focused in on an issue of the heart. Paul uses the words stumbling block here, and truly that's what was going on. The people were not acting in love, and because of how they were behaving, they were basically knocking each other down in their effort to either be free or be self-righteous. They weren't considering their brothers and sisters. They only considered themselves. Paul then, however, does give us the truth that he knows through Jesus' teachings and through the understanding that Christ has given to Paul. Nothing they could eat is, itself, unclean. However, if their conscience is unable to see that truth, for them, it is unclean. That sounds a little odd, doesn't it? How can the same thing be a sin for me and not for you? But Paul is clearly saying that if a believer is convinced that a certain behavior is sin, even if that believer is totally wrong in their belief, then that believer should never do it because they would be violating their own consciences. So how does this work? Well, here's an example of how this can be true in our day and age when, unless you're a Buddhist, you don't do much with food sacrifice to idols. Now, this is an analogy, so keep that in mind. It's not perfect, and we'll discuss in a later lesson this a little bit deeper, too. But imagine there are two men, Joe and Bob. Joe is an alcoholic, but he's been sober for 10 years. Bob has an occasional drink, but has never been addicted to alcohol. Bob is a sinner, but alcohol is just not something he's tempted by. Joe knows that all it will take is one drink to send him back down that path of destruction, so Joe doesn't drink at all. He doesn't go to the bar, he declines any offers of alcohol in any social setting, and avoids settings where he knows that the alcohol will be plentiful. Bob knows this about Joe, so Bob doesn't drink when he and Joe get together for dinner or to watch a football game. Bob doesn't drink not because he has a problem with it, not because one drink for him will lead to that second and that third and lead him back into that depravity, but because Joe has a problem with the alcohol. Is the alcohol itself the problem? No. The alcohol isn't unclean itself, but Joe knows that one drink for him is sin, because he knows what his flesh leans toward. Well, continuing our story of Joe and Bob, look at verse 15. If your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Suppose that Bob, knowing that Joe struggles with alcohol, says to himself, well, that's a problem for Joe, not for me. I can drink, and every time he's with Joe, he has some sort of alcoholic beverage in his hand. The result for Joe in dealing with this inconsiderate friend is going to hurt one way or another. Either Joe is going to stop hanging out with Bob, or Joe will give in to the temptation to drink because that's part of hanging out with Bob. Paul even takes this a step further and says that by what the Roman believers were eating, they could be destroying their brothers and sisters. He says it in such a way that reminds the reader that Christ didn't just die for the reader, but for their brothers and sisters too. And knowing that, knowing their worth to Christ, should give them serious pause before they eat meat under the banner of freedom. Paul is warning them not to use their freedom lightly. Another serious consideration is this: the world around us is watching. When unbelievers see a strong Christian using his freedom in Christ in a way that gives no consideration for the weaker brothers or sisters and harms them, those unbelievers will conclude that Christians are unloving people, and as we are God's ambassadors, we give our Father a bad name among the unbelievers, all for the sake of our freedom. I know some people who really struggle with secular music, secular books, secular whatever. Those words and images get in their minds, and they can't get them out. So what do? They don't listen to secular music at all. They don't watch TV. They just avoid it. They don't read books that are damaging to their minds. They just don't. Does it make it hard to find music to listen to sometimes? For example, when they're working out? Yeah, it sure can. Does it make it hard to find entertaining and quality reading materials? Absolutely. Does it mean more work finding ways to entertain their family than just staring at whatever's on the TV? You bet. Is it worth it so they don't stumble? Without any doubt. Notice that Paul isn't asking the strong believed brothers and sisters to change their convictions. He's not even saying that they're wrong to eat whatever they want, but he is saying that they need to be aware of how their actions are being perceived by their brothers who struggle with those things. They need to act in love toward their brothers and sisters in their freedom. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ with this attitude is, most importantly, acceptable to God and also approved by men. Our goal should be peace in the body and mutual encouragement, not discord and dissension. We should serve Christ by focusing on the matters that are truly central to the kingdom, remembering who our master is and striving to please him, not to please ourselves. Those who are strong in Christ should submit to Christ in these small matters and should gladly set aside their freedoms when it benefits the growth of the body. Again, Paul comes back and affirms the truth that, yes, everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for you to make someone else stumble by your freedom. The one who is free should happily choose to give up a tiny part of that freedom, at times, for the benefit of the body. Look at the example that Christ gives to us. He didn't give up just a tiny bit of his freedom. He became man for our benefit. Seriously, what sacrifice could you make that would compare to that? We should be pursuing those very matters that bring peace and encouragement to the body of Christ. If we're truly doing that, we will gladly give up, as in the case of Bob and Joe, alcohol when we're around Joe, so as not to cause him to stumble. Paul says something kind of strange sounding in verse 22. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Now, please don't misunderstand. Paul is not saying that strong believers should be quiet about their faith in Christ. Paul began his letter to the Romans talking about how he is unashamed of the gospel, how precious it is to him, and how he will share it wherever he goes, to whomever will listen. What Paul is urging the strong believer to do is to understand his freedom in Christ, but not to flaunt it. Be content with the blessings God has given to you, with the understanding of the freedom that you do have in Christ, but without finding it necessary to boast of that freedom before those weaker brothers and sisters. And the strong believer's conscience will remain strong when he knows he is not causing a weak brother to stumble. Paul again affirms where his sentiments lie. The one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves is the strong one. But whoever has doubts, whoever does not approve and yet eats anyway, they're not eating out of an understanding of the freedom that they have in Christ. The problem comes when the weak believer is going along with the crowd without understanding that it is or is not the right thing to do. Without the faith that comes with learning and conviction and the Holy Spirit sanctifying our hearts. When the weak believer has doubts and, instead of searching Scripture and seeking God for wisdom and the Holy Spirit for guidance, but simply goes along with the crowd, that is sin. Now, you need to know that as you grow and are sanctified in Christ, you may realize more and more what sin there is in your life, just as you may realize more and more what things are actually not sin in your life. But you realize those things not by squashing your conscience, but by learning to listen to it and then to check it against Scripture. In doing so, you will become more and more familiar with what is in line with Scripture and what is truly the Holy Spirit warning you. It is only through careful study that we can get to that point. First, the faith of the weak must be strengthened, and then they will be the strong as well, enjoying the freedoms in Christ that are theirs, with a clear conscience. Remember again, just a few pages back, Paul warns the people to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Don't go by what you feel. Check it against Scripture. Pray. Seek God. Your feelings are not to be trusted. The freedom of the strong believer must be mediated through love for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and through concern for building up of the body. It can be overwhelmingly hard for a believer to grasp all the teachings of Christ and the New Testament immediately, especially when it runs counter to long-held beliefs or traditions, even more so when those long-held beliefs or traditions defined for them what it was to be in a relationship with God. I know of several people who have come out of churches with very squishy doctrine, and it takes a long time in some cases to unlearn the bad doctrine and be firmly grounded in the Bible as they relearn the good doctrine. Ladies, at one time or another, we were all new believers. Consider how you have grown in your faith since the point at which Christ saved you. Consider what you know today to be true that you perhaps disbelieved or hadn't even considered when you first became a believer. My question today is this. As you realize how much you have grown since then, as you have gone from weak to stronger, were you given grace by those around you as you learned, or were you given judgment or treated as inferior? Now, where you are at, are you extending grace to the weaker believers in your midst, or are you reacting to them with an air of superiority? None of us will be perfected until Christ comes. Not one of us has all this stuff figured out already. Are you willing to submit your freedom for the benefit of a fellow believer? Or is your freedom what is most important to you? Are you able to submit your freedom with grace or with bitterness? Praise God for any and all grace shown to you as a weak believer and ask Him to help you to encourage all those around you with love above all.
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.